We begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Mem Ches. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which is the Machlokes Abaye and Rava, regarding if Hazmana Milsa Hi Ailav is preparing something for something, considered as if it already has that status or not, which we had this discussion regarding a kever, regarding preparing, which was the Machlokes Abaye and Rava, in regards to Oirig Beged Lameis, if they, a garment of a dead person has the same status as the dead person, it's forbidden to have any benefit from it. Question is, if they just wove the garment but didn't put it on them yet, where it's prepared for that purpose, do we say it has the status as the Tachrichin already or not? That's the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof regarding their Machlokes, which way. Simon and to recall the following different proofs are Kippa, which is a kerchief, Nafshe, which is the building that's built over a grave, the Chatziva, which is hewn, when one takes the rocks out of the mountain, some actually add on to the Simen Bekivre in the grave, the Yata, which is left over, Me'avir from our father, which all these words allude to a different one of the halachas of the coming Tanoic sources, Nechisa, which means slaughtering, those have the Girsa actually refers to Bekisa, which refers to a different case of regarding Kisha Asoi, regarding a wallet, a purse that was made, the mana of a professional. So the Gemara says, Meisvei. The Gemara asks on, according to Rava, who holds that Hazmana Lav Milsi, that preparing something is not like as if it has the status of the thing itself yet, from a Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah says, Kipa Shu Tamei Medrus, regarding a kerchief that has a Tumah of Medrus, which is when a Zav, a Zava, sits on, lays on an object, it has the Tumah of Medrus. Now, although a kippah is generally not sat on, it's usually used as a head covering, but it also could be fit and vulnerable and susceptible to the Tumah of Medrus, because sometimes a person folds it under themselves and sits on it, or actually if the woman would lean their head on something, so then it would be laid on by the person with their head, so therefore it is susceptible to the Tumah of Medrus. So if, let's say, a kerchief contracted a Tumah of Medrus, but then unesanasu le sefer, and then it's given over to be used as a covering for a sefer Torah, for a Torah scroll, then says the Mishnah tar min hamedrus, so then the kerchief is already now purified from the tumah of medrus, even without immersing it in the mikvah, which the reason for that is because now it already is nullified from it, its status of being a medrus, because we say, what's the Talmudic terminology of a midva nasim lachtenu, we say, what do you mean? You're sitting on it? Medrus is only something that can be laid on. Now, although originally it was something that was because it was a kerchief, now that it's a covering for a Torah scroll, we say, get off. We need to use it for what it's meant for, which is not meant for laying on anymore. So therefore, it cannot go ahead and be metam anymore. People or kalim, which could be if it was tamei medrus, it loses that status. Aval, however, it's still considered a kli, because even the casing of svarim does contract the tumah of tumas maga, and this kerchief itself, which was now used to make a covering for a sefer Torah, touched itself when itself was a tumah medrus. So although now it loses its designation of medrus because it's not anymore meant to be sat on, but still it's a kli that touched itself, which was medrus. So therefore, says the Mishnah, tumah maga medrus. So it still will retain a tumah of what touched a medrus because it touched itself, because it's still fit for that to be something that could touch a medrus. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah says it's tar min medrus, it's no more impure from tumas a medrus, and how did it happen? Just by designating it to be a covering for a sefer Torah. So obviously, you see, hazman and milsi, just preparing something for something already gives it that status, not like Rava. Then the Gemara says, no, ema, say, rather, read into the words of the Mishnah, it's not just that unisanasu la sefer, that they designated for a sefer Torah. It means nisanasu l'kar kosai. They gave it to be used as a covering sefer Torah, and they actually covered it with the sefer Torah. So it wasn't just a hazmana, they actually went ahead and did it. That's why it's going to be no more tamei medrus. Because it wasn't just hazmana, it was actually done to be used and changed into something else. But then the Gemara asked, but then lamali nisanasu l'kar kosai. But then why does it need both? It should then be enough just by covering the sefer Torah with it, which is an action. Why would you then need this term of giving it over, which is hazmana, if it already had the action? Says the Gemara, Kid Rav Chisda. It's like Rav Chisda, who actually says you need both. You need to have that to be designated for covering a sefer Torah, and also to actually go ahead and cover the sefer Torah with it, because if all you did was cover it, then we would say it was just a temporary thing, which was not actually, which would then not nullify it from a tamei medrus. Because the Amr of Chizda, like we have Rav Chizda, says a similar ruling. He says, "Hai sudra the azmanei lemeitza beit tefillin," regarding a certain kerchief that was designated to wrap tefillin in it. The guy said, "Yeah, I have this cloth here. I want to use it to put my tefillin in." Bitzar beit tefillin, and then he actually wraps his tefillin in it. So then, asa lemeitza bepshiti, then it's already designated for tashmishei kedusha. Then you're now going to go ahead and wrap and put in your coins in that kerchief too. But let's say Azman Ebele Tzarbe, let's say it was only designated to be used for Tefillin, but it was never wrapped, the Tefillin was never wrapped in it yet. Which Rav Chizda is like Rava, who also has Manulav Milsi, just preparing it for that is not significant. Or Tzarbe Veloy Azman, and this is the point that we're saying, let's say the Tefillin was wrapped in it, but it was never designated for it. He just happened to have used it. Shari Lameitza Bepshiti, then you're still allowed to go ahead and wrap your coins with it. That's the point where, yeah, according to Rav Chizda, you need to have both designation and utilization. But says the Gemara, Labai, according to Abai, that disagrees with Rav Chizda and Rava. The Amar Hazman the Milsahi, that he holds that just designating it is significant enough. Therefore, according to Abai, Azmanei, if it was prepared for the tefillin, Avagav Deloy Tzarbe, even if it was not wrapped, the tefillin was not wrapped in it, would still be forbidden. And therefore, according to Abai, that Mishnah in Kalim that says that it was Nisanasai Lesefer, actually that's all you need is to have been designated for the Sefer, and you don't need the way Rava amended it to say Karchasai, that it was wrapped with it. Now, but Tzarbe, if the tefillin were wrapped in the kerchief, so then e'azmanei in, if it was also designated, then it's going to be forbidden to put the coins in it, but e'loy azmanei loy, but if it was not designated, then not, because, yeah, Abai agrees to that logic, that then we would say akroi ba'alma, who would just be something that just happened to have been done, it wasn't considered enough of a designation if you just used it, because it could be it was just temporarily, it wouldn't give it that designation. It would have to have been that you also designated. But again, that regarding the designation, in explaining the Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim, Abaye doesn't need any emendation. Unsanasu Lesefer itself would be a Hazmana, according to Abaye, which Hazmana Milsi, but again, it's not a contradiction on Rava, because Rava amends it to say, Nisanasu Bikarkasa. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya Toshima. The following Brisa. Nefesh, which is this building that's built over a grave, Shebenoi L'Shem Chai, which was built for the purpose of a living person, so that when he dies, they'll bury him over there. So Mutbano, since it's not made for a dead person, so it's still permitted to have benefit from it. But Haisav by Dimos Echad, but if they added on another layer of bricks, L'Shem Meis, for the purpose of someone that was already dead, then also, but no, then it's forbidden to have benefit because then it was already made for a dead person. But one thing that we see is that even though you didn't bury the person in there yet, it was just prepared for him, but he's dead, that milsi, that it's significant and it's already also, but no, which is like Abai and not like Rava. So it's Gemara, what are we talking about over here in this brisa? Is the Ramba by Mace. We're talking about when you added the row, the dead person was already in there. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then why is the building only going to be forbidden when you add on the row of bricks when the dead person is buried in there? Kilo Haisav Nami, even if you don't add on, the dead person is there. So it's already considered the grave of a dead person. Even if you don't add on, it should be forbidden to have anah. So the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, no, it's necessary. This element that the Bryce is saying regarding adding on a row of bricks was only necessary to teach us Avagav de Panye. Even if later on they exhumed, they took the body out from the grave, the grave is still going to be forbidden to have benefit from it because they added on a row when he was already in there. Where there it's already, that's considered hazmana, a preparation of when a person is dead, and an action. Because if they did not add on a row, then actually it would be permitted if they took out the body, because that would be like the halacha we said before, of Tzar Bevelei Azmanei, that when you wrapped the tefillin, which was not designated for it, it was just akroi ba'alma, that actually would not make the thing forbidden. Here too, it would not have made the grave forbidden had it not been adding on a row. So therefore, it's not difficult on Rava. We're talking about that you did add on when the dead person was there. That's why it's forbidden. Yeah, but if you added on when the dead person was not there, that would be hazmana and that would be lav milsi. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this last halacha. Amar Rav Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizdi says, "Imhoyi makiroi." But if let's say the person recognized what was the row that was added on after the person was buried over there, chelzay umutu, then you could take away that row and it's going to be permitted. Because that's only forbidden this grave when you subsequently take out the body, only because you added on that row when the person was there. But what was made before was made for a living person. The row that was added is only problematic. If you take away that row, then it's actually going to be permitted. But again, the Gemara did not have any rayas from this brisa, not like Rava. So the Gemara continues asking Toshima from the following brisa. Hachaitzev kevel of, if someone goes ahead and digs out a grave for his father, v'halach v'kavari b'kevrach, and then he ends up burying his father somewhere in a different grave. Says the brisa, he's not allowed to bury himself in that grave forever. So you see, Hasmona Milsa, you see, although the father was never buried over there, just the fact that he prepared it for that makes it forbidden to have hanah from it. So the Gemara, no, Hasa Mishum Kavod Aviv. That's for a different halach over there. And actually, Rashi in the previous daf forewarned that by saying that the Gemara would assume that it would apply to any regular person. Now, Gemara is telling us that no, there it's because of the honor of the father to be concerned for. But from the concept of Isuri Hanah, that is no problem. For example, if let's say it was dug out for a different person originally, then it wouldn't be a problem. Here it's only because he made it for his father. It's not appropriate, even if his father wasn't buried over there, and there's no hazmana milsi, there's no asana, still it's not appropriate to use it. And the Gemara says, Hachanam Mistab, it's logical to say that it was specifically a halacha relating that he had done it for his father. Because the Ketani Seif at the end of the Braisa says, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Afachetz of Avonim. Even if it was just hewing stones from the mountain, to use those stones to make a grave out of it, if he was doing that la'aviv for his son, and he didn't even build it, and then he goes and buries his father somewhere else, he's not even use those stones that he quarried to use for the grave for himself ever. So says the Gemara, if you say like we were saying, that the reason why this is forbidden because it's the honor of his father, it would make sense why even just taking the stones from the mountain for that purpose would make it forbidden to use. But if you say the reason is because of the fact that it was prepared for a grave and therefore would apply to any person, then Tavila Riga Mi'ikal Mandama, is there anyone that would say that just spinning a thread for the purposes of then using it for weaving would make it forbidden? Even Abaya wouldn't say it by spinning, he says it by weaving, when you're weaving the garment for the purposes of a dead person. But just spinning flax to then use that to weave a garment for a dead person, even he wouldn't say that's considered already preparing it for the final garment. And therefore, that's the equivalent of taking the stones out. Obviously, it's not because Hasmona Milsi, it's rather because of the covenant of the father, and therefore it's not difficult on Rabba. Moses says, Toshma, Gemara tries to bring a different raya from the following braisa. Kever Chadosh, a new grave. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is even if it was being prepared, this new grave, for a dead person. Still says the braisa, Mute Bahana, it's permitted to have benefit from it. But Hitl by Nefil Osabana, but if you put in a child that didn't survive, then it's forbidden to have benefit from that grave. Says the Gemara, Hitl in. It sounds like only because you put in the dead fetus, that's why it's forbidden to have benefit. But loy hitl loy. But if you did not put it in, then even though the grave was prepared for a dead person, for the, let's say this dead fetus, it would be permitted. So you see, the Hasmona love milsi. Says the Gemara, Nahu adin the afagav to lehitl. Truth is that even if the fetus was not put in, the dead person was not put into the grave, it still would be forbidden because of its hazmana, the fact that it was prepared for a dead person. Now, however, this halacha that we said regarding the new grave, that it's permitted to have benefit from it, was talking about because it was being carved out for a living person, or unspecified, that just to be used whenever it's necessary. Now, this that the Braisa said the case of hitl, that it's only forbidden because you put in the nafil, that's only because the Braisa wanted to teach us that actually the halacha would apply, that it would apply to a nafil too, that he also acquires his grave to make it forbidden, even if you subsequently take the nafil out of that. Because that was ulafukim and the Rishimim Gamliel, that was coming to exclude from the opinion of Rishimim Gamliel. Dama that he says, as his brother Masechta Sa'alis, in the Tesefta, that he says, Ein l'nafalim tfisas hakever, that a fetus that's miscarried does not acquire its space in the grave, and therefore if you end up taking it out, the place is not forbidden as a grave. Kamash Malon, that's the Braisa teaching, that it is forbidden. But it's not because you need to have hitl. Hitl's only tell you that, but if you put it in, you can't take it out anymore. It's not going to become back permitted, because a nafil does have that status, but not required hitl. Actually, even if you did not put it in, the hazmana for the nafil itself would make it forbidden. In other words, that's what we're answering for Abaye, that it wouldn't be difficult on him, which we thought that it was saying hazmana lav milsi, whereas the case of kever chadash, that it's mutabana, is because there actually was no hazmana even over there. Because it was made for a living person, and hazmona milsa to make it forbidden would only be if it was made for a dead person. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof, Tashema, from Mishnah Masechtas Shkalim. The Mishnah says, Meiser HaMesim. If, let's say, they collected charity for the Meisei Mitzvah, for people that die without anyone to bury them, or for poor people that die, and then they have money left over from the collections. So they leave it, LaMesim, they leave it for the purposes of when they're going to have other dead people that need to be buried from public funds. Let's say they have Meiser HaMes. They collected money specifically for this person that died. And they have money left over. says the Mishnah liyoshev, that goes to the inheritors of that person who died, that they could have benefit from it. So one thing we see is hasmana, the fact that it was prepared for the purposes of a dead person, is lav milsi, is not something significant, because if it was, it would be prohibited from benefit because it's the purposes of burial. From the fact that we see that the inheritors could take that money, it's obviously because hasmana lav milsi, like Rabbah, not like Abaya. Says the Gemara, "Hoch Ma'iskina." What are we talking about over here? It's Shagav Michaim. They collected when he was alive. When he was alive, then there wasn't hazmana for milsa of a dead person, which would make it forbidden. It was for a living person. Living person, that money is not forbidden, and that's why it goes to his yerushim. That the Gemara says, "Halaytani hachem," but we didn't learn like that because it's not the Mishnah teachers over there, and it says, "Ma'isa Mesim La Mesim." The excess money that was collected for in general for the dead people, that goes to the public fund for dead people. Meiser Hameis Liyarshav. As we said before, if left over for this specific dead person, it goes to his inheritors. That's what the Mishnah says. But then Mitani, I love, we learned in the Braisa on this Mishnah that explained us at Ketzad. What's the cases? Gavula Mesim Stam, if it was collected in generic for the dead people. So then Zehu Meiser Hameisim Lamesim, that was the case that we mentioned in the Mishnah. It says that the leftover for the dead goes for all the dead. Gavula Meis Zeh, if it was collected for this dead person, Zehu Meis Ra Meis Liyashav, that's the case of when the excess of the dead person goes to his inheritors. But one thing we see is that the case is Gavula Meis Zeh. It was being collected for when he was dead, not when he's alive. You wanted to answer and saying, oh, Hasman is usually Milsi, but here it's not Milsi because it was collected for when he's alive, but the Braisa clearly says it was collected for when he was dead. So obviously you see that even though it was collected for his dead, Hasman alav Milsi, which is difficult on Abaya. On that, the Gemara responds back, what do you mean? Well, Tamech, according to your reasoning that you want to prove from this halacha, that Hazmana is lav milsi, but aim is safer. Look at the safer. In other words, instead of asking on me from the Reisha, says Abaye, you could support me from the safer that we see Hazmana is milsi. How so? Because the safer continues and has different opinions. Remeir, I mean, he says, lo yiga behem. No, it does not go to the inheritors. It cannot be touched, as the Gemara explains later on the reasoning for that. Atche yavaliyo until Yonah becomes. Reb Nosnaimer, he says, Yaseh Dimus al Kivrei. No, it does not go to the inheritors. If anything, what should you do with the money? You go ahead and you build another row on the grave, Ezilif Levanim Yatasa, or you pour wine which smells good in front of his dead body, in front of the bed over there. But you see that it goes only to the dead person because Hazmana is Milsi. So instead of asking from the Reisha that you see Hazmana lav Milsi, support me from the safe, you say Hazmana is Milsi. So El Rav says the Gemara, so each one is difficult according to the other opinion. So rather, Abaye Mitaritz L'Tameh, he answers all opinions like his opinion. V'Rav Mitaritz L'Tameh, and he explains all the different shitas like his opinion, as the Gemara explains. Abaye Mitaritz L'Tameh, he explains all the Tanoim are going like him. The Kuli Alma Hazmana Milsi, that really everyone holds, that being just prepared for something is significant, it's like that element already. Tanakama Sava, but the Tanakama seem to be saying, as was asked in Abaye, the Hazmana is Lav Milsihi, because if it is, then how is it allowed to go to the inheritors? Because the Tanakama holds the Chazilei Tafas. Only what's fit for the dead person, that then it grabs a hold of it, the status of a dead person, which is forbidden to have benefit from it. But the Loi Chazilei, that which is not fit for the dead person, in other words, that you don't need to use to spend on his needs because it's excess money, that Loi Tafas, that never took control of it to even be considered Hazmana Milsi because it wasn't designated because it wasn't necessary. Whereas Rameir Misafkele, but Rameir was in doubt. Itafis Ilay Tafis. If it will then go ahead and take a hold or not, because it wasn't sure, is it only for what's necessary, or maybe every money that's collected for him has the Hazmana Milsa? And that's why he holds that without the agreement of the inheritors, you can't use it to build another brick load of on top of the grave, because maybe it was not Tafis, maybe it's not considered Muzman for the mess, and actually belongs to the Yarshan, and you're causing them a loss. So Hilkach Layiga ben Atshebelio, since he was in doubt, does it belong to the mess or does it belong to the Yarshan? Therefore he says you have to leave it to Eliyahu Navi. Whereas Reb Nosson, Pshita Lei Devadi Tavas, not like the Tanakama. To him it was obvious that it definitely, everything is designated for the dead person, even the excess money. Hilkach Yaseh Dimas Al Kivrei, therefore he said you make it to build on top of the grave, it does not go to the Yarshan, it goes to the dead person's grave. But again, everyone holds, like Abaye, Hazmana Milsi. Whereas Rava Matarz L'Tameh, Rava explains it according to his opinion. The Kula Amah Hazmana Lav Milsi, he says that everyone agrees, like him, that just designated something does not have that halachic status. Now, so the Tanakhama would make sense. But the reasoning of Rameh and Reb Nosson is not because, as we had thought to ask in Rava, because of Isura Hanah, because it was designated. No, rather it's because the dead person, he gets humiliated when everyone goes around collecting for him, oh, you know that person, he died. Yeah, he doesn't have money for his grave. So it's his humiliation So that's the machlokes. Tanakama Sabbat, Tanakama holds ki bazulei, that when this person gets disgraced, that they have to make public collections for him to be buried, achuli machl, he is forgiving that when they collected for him when he was alive, he's forgiving for zilusei, for his disgrace. And therefore he prefers that, although that he gets this embarrassment, but after that he's dead, that benefit should go, gabi yarshim, that it should go to his inheritors. So again, although it's not because of a hasmana, there's nothing considered as prepared for him, but ultimately it's his embarrassment. It's almost like he acquires it because of an embarrassment, all of it should go to him, but he's okay with it going to his inheritors. Ramey was in doubt, is he meichel or is he not? So therefore you can't touch it, because if he was meichel, then it belongs to inheritors. If he wasn't, then it belongs to him. Whereas Reb Nosson, it was obvious to him that the father is not meichel, because this humiliation that he gets as a person, everyone collecting for him. So Hilkach, therefore, with the excess money, it doesn't go to anyone but him. You make a building on top of his grave, or you pour this wine in front of his dead body's bed. But again, ultimately, they both answer it, and therefore there's no raya if you see Hazman al-Milsa or Hazman al-Milsi. So Gemara continues trying to bring a raya Tashemaf in the following b'risa. If the father or mother were throwing their garments on their son who died, more than what's necessary, they were lamenting his death because of the great love they had for him. Because of their pain, they wanted to make everything they owned forbidden. I don't want to have any benefit from money ever again because of the loss. I can't go on living without you. So the way they did it was by throwing their garments on him. It then has the halacha of tashmishi from a mess, like the tachrichin of a mess, and therefore it would become forbidden to have benefit from it. So says the Braisa, mitzvah alachem, so there's a mitzvah on others who see this going on, latzilan, to save those items, and to take it off the dead son, because there's no greater hashavas aveda to return a lost item than this, which is to return it to the parents to say, now in their moment of sorrow, they think there's no point of living on, but they'll see there is a point of continuing to live, and they're not going to have any money left because they threw it all on the dead son. But one thing we see is obviously hazman alav milsahi, because if it was milsa, then there's nothing to save. The moment it touches the son, the moment it was thrown on him, it's already forbidden, because they had the intention to prepare it for that purposes, and therefore it's forbidden. So says the Gemara, Amud Beis, no, there's no right. Hasa mishum mirayu. There, it's because of their bitterness, of their pain, that's why they're doing it. That's not considered it like as if it was prepared for that. They, not even thinking clearly. And therefore, it's not hazmana, and therefore it's not a rai hazmana lav milsi. If it was hazmana, it would be forbidden, but that's not even considered a hazmana for a dead person. So then the Gemara asks, Yach, if that's the case, well then, Hayne Diktani Allah, then this, that we learned in this on the Braisa that explains, that Amr Pshem Gom Lila B'medvam, when did we say this halacha, that it's, they could save it, is only Shaloi Nogu B'mita. If the clothing, that the vessels that they threw on the dead son, didn't touch the bed that he's on. Abu Nogu B'mita Asur, but if it touched the bed, it's forbidden. But if it's like you're saying that it's only because of that bitterness, why does it even become forbidden when it touches the bed? What, just by touching the bed, it doesn't become forbidden? Things allow to touch the person. It's only if it's designated, but if it wasn't designated, why is it forbidden? So Tigma Ula Ula translated to explain, with that halacha of Shem Galil was Toma B'mita Hanik Verisimai. It was Toma the bed, the coffin that's actually buried with the dead person, where they carry it, the person to be buried with it, and normally they would bury the person with it too. So although it was done because of their bitterness, it still would become forbidden if it touches that bed rabbinically. Why? Because the mechalfi b'tachrich emes, it could be confused with the shrouds, the burial shrouds of a dead person. In other words, people are going to come to say that if the stuff, let's say the mother threw on her shawl on the child, and if it would be allowed to be saved and taken back, people would then say, oh, burial shrouds of a dead person are permitted. Now, but that's only, again, in the bed that he's buried with. But the bed that he dies on, that's not normal to then cover him then with the burial shrouds to be buried in. And therefore, if it was on that we said that they throw on him, does not become forbidden because there's no problem of azmana, because they only did it out of pain, not to designate it for burial purposes. And also, the rabbinic decree does not apply because that's not going to get confused with burial shrouds, because burial shrouds were not normally put on when they were on the bed that they died on, but rather in the bed that they're buried in. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a riot. Toshima, coming here from the following braisa that says, Kis sh'asoyi lahanich b'tfilin, regarding a pouch that was designated to put tefillin in it. So asa lahanich b'mois, it's forbidden to put money in it, which clearly contradicts Rava, because it says hazmana milsi, just by being designated for it, makes it forbidden already. continues the Braisa, Hanich Mitfilin, let's say they just happened to put, it wasn't designated, it just happened to have put Tfilin in that pouch. Yanich B'mois, you're still allowed to put money in it. As we said, everyone agrees when it's just a Kori Ba'alma, just happened to have been used, does not make it the Tfilin bottle. Does not make it the pouch that's used. But one thing we see is not like Rava, that if it's just designated, it's forbidden. So the Gemara no Ema say like this. A pouch that was asoy, that was made for tefillin, v'hinich b'tefillin, it's not two cases, actually one long case. And you put tefillin in it, then asal nich b'moyz, then it's forbidden to go ahead and put money in it. And now, if that's the halacha, so then that's pretty obvious. Obviously, if you did designation and you went ahead and you put money in it, obviously it's asr. That says the Gemara, no, and it was necessary to say this halacha for the seifa of this brisa to teach us kidder Rav Chisda, like Rav Chisda, who he said, which was the last case of a nich by tefillin, that you nich by mois, it's just that if you bind the tefillin in it, but it was not designated for it, then it's not considered tashmish mitzvah. That's the halacha that was necessary. Yeah, the first halacha is pretty obvious, and therefore it's not difficult on Rav, because it's not so much just designation, it's designation and you put it in. But rather, it was the last case that was necessary to say, but if it was just used and not designated, like Rav Chisda we said before, then it's not going to be forbidden. Stashma, the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya, amala uman. If someone said to a craftsman, to a professional, aseli tikshal sefer, make for me a holder for the sefer Torah, which is the covering, a inar tikshal tefillin, or a case for my tefillin. So actually, nishtamish ben kodesh, if it wasn't yet used for sanctity, for sanctified purposes, meaning that it was the sefer Torah or the tefillin was never put into it yet, mutal nishtamish ben chal, you're still allowed to use it for mundane purposes. Nishtamash ben kodesh, but it was already used for sanctified purposes, then asal nishtamash ben mechal, then you're not allowed to use it for mundane purposes anymore. But one thing you see is as one is lav milsi, because you see, although it was made for a sefer Torah, or if it's film, if it wasn't yet used, it's permitted to use it for chal. So the Gemara, tanoihi. You're right, it's a machloikis tanoim if asmon and milsihi or not. It's machloikis abayin rav, it's machloikis tanoim. It's kind of like we learned the braisa. Tzipan zav, its tefillin was coated in gold. So that's pasul, halacha mesh mesinai. Or if it was covered with the skin, the hide of a non-kosher animal. That's psulis, that's puzzle, because it says in Shmoyis Yud Gimel, Mantia Teres Hashem Beficher, so that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth, which the Gemara darshans, that it should be what's permitted to be put in your mouth, meaning from the animal that's kosher, and not from a non-kosher animal. That's what type of hide. Now, Oybehem Tehaira, if you use, which is our tefillin is made from the hide of a kosher animal, it's kesheris. So that's going to be kosher for the tefillin. Alpha Pishalei Ibdin says the Tanakhama, even if it wasn't tanned, meaning this hide, lishman, for the purpose of being used for tefillin, because hasman alav milsi, what the designation is not significant, and therefore doesn't bother us if it was not made for the purposes of tefillin when it was tanned. When you make it, so that the making is that, but the preparation, that's not significant. That's like Rava. Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, no, af oy behemet tayr besulais, even the hide of a kosher animal is going to be invalid, achayabdu lishman, until it's tanned for the purposes of being used for tefillin, which is like abaya, and that's hazman ezmosi. So that's the conclusion that it's a machlekes tanoim. Now, going back to the beginning from the previous daf, Amar Ravina l'Rava, he asked, is it ever such a situation that you have a dead person lying in disgrace when everyone's waiting for argi beggar lemes, and then the people are busy then, only then, weaving a burial shrouds for him? In other words, the case that started this whole discussion, your machlikas with Abaya, you disagreed regarding a case of when a person's dead, and then they're weaving a garment, the burial shrouds for the dead person, but it was never put onto him, it was just prepared, hazmana, is that milsihir or not? So on that, Ravina asked Rava, why are you having this machlekes in such a case? Do you think such a case would ever happen? That a person would be dead and only then they're like, ooh, okay, let's start weaving a garment for him? Amalei, so Rava responds to him, he says, in, yes, kegen shach vid harpanya, like the dead of harpanya, where they were very poor. And it was only after the person died, then they were able to start making collections, and only then would they be able to start the weaving of these meek and decrepit garments after they're dead. Yes, that's the case that we're discussing, which is a case that could happen when a person's dead, and then they weave the garment for him. Do we say the hazman is milsihi or not? Which again, the Gemara concluded is a machlekes tanoi. Now the Gemara says, Darish Meremer, Meremer had lectured, Hilchas HaKavaseh Da'abai, the Lacha falls like Abai, that hazman is milsihi. But Rabbanah Ami, the Rabbanah said, Hilchas HaKavaseh Da'abai, the hazman is lav milsi. And says the Gemara, Hilchas HaKavaseh Da'abai, Halacha falls like Rava, that preparing something for that purpose is not significant, it does not take on that status just by preparing it for that thing. Now the Gemara goes back to what the Gemara had originally been discussing regarding those who are executed, which is the title of our perek, specifically Trumbon Linda Bryce regarding Harugi Malchus. Although we mentioned previously regarding those that are killed by government, we meant those were by non-Jewish governments. Now the Bryce is discussing someone that was liable to be killed by a Jewish king. For example, let's say he rebelled against the king. As the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, Kol Isha Sheyimare Espicha Begrem, whoever's going to rebel against you, then you could kill that person. So when someone is executed by the king, Nechsein Lamelech, so then their assets get confiscated to the king. Harugi Bezdin, if he's killed by the Jewish courts, because let's say he did a sin, which is one of the four death penalties, Nechsein Liyarshin, then their assets go to their inheritors. Rabbi Yehudam, he disagrees. He says, no, Af Harugi Malchus, even those that are killed by the king, by the government, not by the Jewish courts, which are different departments in law, Nechsein Liyarshin, then their assets go even there to the inheritors. He says it never goes to the king. Now, Amr Leil Rabbi Yehuda, but they said to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say that? But we're like Kfar Nehmeh, the Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, when it's talking about Kum Reid Lekras Achav Melech Yisrael Asher B'Shamron, go down to, this was the prophecy that was said to Achav, the king of the Jewish people that's in Shamron, which it was saying, Hinei Bekerem Navois, behold, he's now in the vineyard of Navois, who he actually had him killed based on a false testimony, which because he rebelled against the king, and therefore he was Harugi Malchus. Asher Yorid Sham L'Rishtei, who we went down there to inherit, and that's actually why he plotted to have him killed, because he wanted that beautiful vineyard, to inherit it. Now it sounds like that he had a true inheritance based on law. So you see, say the Rabban Rabbi Huda, since he was Harugi Malchus, the king ends up getting it. How can you say it goes to the Yarshan? Some of the hands, Rabbi Huda said to them, no, Achav was Ben Achi Aviv Hayu. He was the son of Navas's father's brother. In other words, he was his first cousin. That's why he was fit to inherit him. Now that he went and he killed him, so now he's dead and he has no inheritors, that's why he gets it. But not because he's Harugi Malchus and the king gets it. No, the king doesn't get it. The inheritors get it, but he was the inheritor. But on that they said back to him, but how could you say that? But he had many sons. Which Rashi says he doesn't know where we know that from, but there were many sons. If there was many sons, then even if he is a cousin, but still the son should get it if it's coming through the laws of inheritance. So Melchani said to them, no, Eisev is ban of Harig, because he didn't just kill Novus, he killed him and his sons. Shnemek, it says, Apostle Melachim Beis, it says, Emloyas demei Novus, ves demei ban of Reisi, Hashem says, and if I didn't see the blood of Novus and the blood of his sons, which means to say that, yeah, because he killed not only Novus, but also his sons. But Rabbanan, who disagree, and they say that no, it wasn't coming because of the laws of inheritance, because it was going first to his sons. Obviously, if the king took it, it's because Harugi Malchus take it. Hahu banim haru'uin lotzis memena. The blood of the sons that Hashem saw was the blood of the sons that were fit to come out from him, which once he's killed and he wasn't able to have children anymore, it was that blood that Hashem was referring to. So that's their machlokes. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam el mamdom and nechsein lemelech. We could very well understand, according to the opinion of the Rabban, who say that the assets of the Harugi Malchus goes to the king. So Heinrich Siv, that's what it means in the Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, which talks about in that incident with Navis, that it says that two people that didn't have the fear of heaven on them, that came opposite to testify against Navis in front of the people, saying that this was the libel that they had set up from Achav against Navis. Beirich Navis Eli Kim V'melech, that Navis blasphemed, he cursed God and the king. So we could understand why they were set up to testify falsely that he was rebelled against the king, so that he should be considered the Harugim Malchus. And then the assets go to the king, which was the whole reason why Achav had him killed, because he wanted that his assets, he wanted that beautiful field. Elamanda Amar Nechsein Liyarshim, according to Rabbi, this says that even Harugim Malchus is no different than anyone who gets killed for any sin, that the assets go to the inheritors. So lama leva melech. So then, why did they have to add that element to say, and that he didn't just curse God, he cursed the king? If it's to get him killed, well, anyway, the one who's going to inherit, if you're saying that Rabbi Huda says he was inheriting because he was a relative, just by saying that nobody's cursed God would be enough. Why add on the element of that because he cursed the king? If you say it's because only Harugi Malchus, so then that we know that. But according to you, that you're saying it's only because he was a relative, and he's just getting it because there's no other relatives, and he's getting killed because he blasphemed against God, why add on the element of the king? To which the Gemara responds back, what do you mean, tameich, according to your reasoning, that you're saying that, according to your opinion, that Melech was added on to make him into Aruge Malchus, and that's why he's getting it according to Rabbanan, but then Elikim Lamali, according to your opinion, then why do you need to say that he blasphemed against God? He would be liable for the death penalty, and it would go to the Achav, because just the fact that he blasphemed against the king, which would make him a Marid B'Malach, and Harugi Malchus, and that would make him liable to the death penalty, and that itself would make him go to the king. Why do you have to add on the element of Elikim? Hella, rather, what would have to answer for you would answer for me too. Obviously, it's Lafushe Rischa. The reason why they said not only did he blaspheme against the king, but he blasphemed against God, was because then the judges would get very upset, and then they wouldn't say any rumors against Achav to say that, oh, he set him up, and really, Nabas didn't do anything wrong. And they say, what? Such a sick person. He cursed God. He cursed the king. So therefore, it says Rabbi Yehuda, what do I mean here also, according to me, the reason why the element of a melech was added on was Lafushe Rischa, just to get them more upset and let them not focus on Achav having set it all up. But rather, you're right, it has nothing to do with Umelech. It was just to do with the fact that he cursed God and the fact that he's killed. It goes to Achav because he was a relative, but not because, says Rabbi Yehuda, that of Aruge Malchus, because he holds Aruge Malchus also goes to the Yarshan and not to the melech. Gemara continues asking, we could understand according to the one who says that the assets go to the king when he has someone executed who rebelled against him. That's what it means, the Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, and regarding a different episode in Tanakh, that says, that Yoyev ran away, he fled to the oil, to the tent of Hashem, and he held on to the corners of the altar of the Mizbeach. And then it says later on, he said, they were trying to get him to be executed, where Shlomo HaMelech said that he has to be killed because of what he had done in the days of his father David, he says, Lo, no, I'm not going to leave. Ki pay amas, Yaiv says that it's only over here that I'm going to die. Which essentially he was saying was that I don't want to get judged by the king, by Shlomo HaMelech. Rather, I want to be executed by the court. Why? So that my assets don't go to the king. That makes sense. If you hold that Haruge Malchus, the assets go to the king. Elamandam and Nechsein Liyershim are the one who says that no matter if you get killed by the court or if you get killed by the king, either way the assets go, that person's assets go to his inheritors. So my nafkulamina, so why did Yoav care if, say, I'm not going to Shlema to get killed by Shlema, but I want to get killed by the court? What's the difference? I think Mar says, you're right, there was no difference. He knew his money's going to go to his inheritors. It was L'chai Isha. It was just to buy time so that Binyahu was going to have to go back to Shlomo and say, well, this is what he's saying, he's not leaving the Mizbech, what should we do? It was just to live those few more moments. That's why he was making a delay tactic, but nothing to do with the Yerusha. Now, once we introduced this, because it was pertinent to this Machloikis regarding the Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan, if Harugi Malchus goes to the Yerushan or goes to the Melech, and we introduced the incident with Yoav, so the Gemara now delves into that topic. But Yashav bin Yoav es Amelech Dabar Lema. So Yoav said, I'm not leaving the Mizbeach. You can't kill me here on the Mizbeach. I'm not leaving. So bin Yoav, who was sent to get Yoav, he came back to the king Shlomo saying, Koy dibri Yoav v'koy aneini. This is what Yoav said. This is what he answered me. So it sounds like that he said a lot. But the problem is the Pasuk only says, Ki payamis. It only records the words of Yoav that says, here I'm going to die and nothing more. So rather adds on the Gemara, what Amar Leh, what Yoav was telling to Benayahu was, Zil Emeli, go tell Shlomo HaMelech, Karti Leh Tavid B'Hai Gabi. You can't do two things to that person, meaning referring to himself. Ikat Lesle, if you're going to have me killed, then Kabbal Letusa Delatya Ovuch, then tell Shlomo that you have to accept upon yourself the curses that your father David HaMelech had done to me, meaning this was regarding an episode in history that Yoav had done wrong, as the Gemara in the next daf discusses at length, and David HaMelech had already cursed Yoav for what he had done. Now Shlomo wants to have him killed. He says, you can't do two things to me. If you want to have me killed, then you have to take upon yourself the curses that your father David put on me. V'ilay, and if you don't want to, then shavki delekei b'latus to delat yovach, then leave this man, meaning don't kill me, and let me just live with the suffering of the curses that your father had done on me. So it says later on, v'yemel ha-melech, so the king said back to him, asa kasha dibra, do as Yoav had said, ufagaboy ukvarasai, and encounter him and kill him and bury him. So I remember Yehuda Merabi says, "Kol kalalois shakil David as Yoav." All the curses that David cursed Yoav, Niskayim of Bezari Shal David, were all fulfilled in the children, the descendants of David, because Shlomo HaMelech accepted on him when he went to kill him. He said, "Yeah, he accepted the curses that his father David had said on Yoav." Now, what was the curse? So it says the pasuk in Shmuel Beis that David cursed Yoav, "Al yikaris mi beis Yoav." It should not be cut off from the house of Yoav, meaning that these elements, these cursed elements, should apply to Yoav, Zav, Umitzaira, Umachzik Bepel, someone that holds a cane, V'noif b'cherbu, someone that's felled by the sword. V'chosel lechem, and lacking bread. Where do we find these things? Zav, which is a man that has certain impure emission that comes out of his male member, is, we find Mirachavim, who is the son of Shlema. The Chassidim says the pasuk in Melachim Aleph, it says Va'melech Rechavim, the king Rechavim, his amitz lalis b'merkava, he strengthened himself to go up on the chariot, lonis Yerushalayim, to run to Yerushalayim. Now, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk of Yikra regarding the parsha of Azav, it says V'chol Amerka v'Sheyerka l'v'Hazav Yitma, any chariot that the Zav sits on will become tamei. So we have this Gzei Rishava that's alluded to in the words Merkav that it says here, and it says by the Zav that Rechavim became a Zav. Mitzarim Izayah, we find Mitzarim by the descendants of David from Izayah Melech. There's still, like it says in Pasuk in Debi Yom Beis, it says Ubechaskasi, when he strengthened himself, Gava Libay Ab Lahashas, he made his heart haughty until destruction, the Yimel Bashem Alekav, and that he rebelled against Hashem as God. And he came to the sanctuary of Hashem to sacrifice on the Mizbeach the incense. Now, it says after that, and the Tzaras, he's a king, he's not a Kayan, so he got punished. The Tzaras then sprout forth on his forehead. So you see Tzaras also by the descendants of David. Machzik bepelech, holding a cane, we find me'asa, asa melech. It says the pasuk in Melachim Aleph. It says rak le'esek nasi. But when he became older, choles raglav, his feet became ill. So that's why he had to hold on to a stick to lean on a cane because of the sickness in his legs. So we find machzik bepelech. Now, Va'am Rabbi Yehuda Meravi says she'achzei pedagra was because he had the illness called pedagra, which actually Rashi says in his days it was actually still called that, but it's what we know as gout, which is very painful in the joints. Amalei Matzutcha Breidav Nachman of Nachman says, "Hey Chadami, what is this sickness that Asa had? What is this like?" So Amalei Rav Nachman said to him, "Kemachet bebasar chai, it's like needles in living flesh. That's how painful it is." So the Gemara says, "No, yeah." How did Rav Nachman know that that's the sensation of this illness? So the Gemara says three approaches: Ibayseim Meichas Avachayish, because he actually suffered from that ailment. Ibayseim, or if you want, you could say Mirabe Havagamalei, he learned it from his teacher. V'ibayseim, if you want, you could say a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Soyda Hashem li reyav." The secret of Hashem is for those who fear Him, or bris leidim, and His covenant for those that know Him. Which is, yeah, although he doesn't know anything of it, but he can know it just because Hashem gives him that divine inspiration of what it's like. The Gemara continues, "Noifel b'cherev," and the curse of being felled by the sword. We know Mishayahu from Yeshayahu HaMelech, descendant of David. So like says the Pasuk in Devar Yom Beis, says V'yayru, and the gear says Hayayrim LaMelech Yeshayahu, that those who were shooting the arrows shot towards King Yeshayahu. V'am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says She'asu kol gufei kekvar, that they made his entire body like a sieve. That's how many holes he had where he was felled in war. V'chasu lechem, and lacking bread, that we know Miyachanya from Yechanya HaMelech. So like says the Pasuk in Lachem Beis, V'aruchasa, and his meal was Aruchas Tamed Nitnalai, was a constant meal that was given to him from Nebuchadnezzar, which we see that he didn't always have food, and then only then he got from Nebuchadnezzar. So the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, this is what people say as we continue to talk about Memtesim and Aleph, Tehei Luta, it's better to be from those who are cursed, and not be from those who curse others. Because at the end, like we see in this incident, when you curse someone unnecessarily, it goes back to the one who gave the curse in the first place. We hear David had cursed Yaev, and since it was not necessary, because Shlomo ended up killing him, it came back on the descendants of David.